Hallelujah. Yes. Welcome. It's a new season. Yes, it is. How many of y'all know it's a new season? God is doing a new thing, a fresh thing. I'm telling you what. It's almost like there's been drilling going on and we're hitting oil. Now, if you're here tonight, don't try to figure out why you're here. Don't figure out how you got here tonight. Just know that God got you here tonight. Well, I thought I got me here. No, you didn't. But I drove. Yeah, but God gave you the car. And gave you the talent to drive, right? And the Bible says that we are led by the Spirit. So if you're here tonight, it's because God has you here for a specific reason. One of the things that Jesus did is He came into the world. And when He came into the world, one of His main purposes, of course, we know that He was going to die for us so that we could have forgiveness of sin. Amen. But that wouldn't be any good if He didn't expose the devil. Amen. He would have died in vain. Because everybody would have still been beaten up by the devil. But He exposed the devil. And when He exposed the devil, He explained to us that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting powers of darkness. So there is a war going on, isn't there? Amen. And that war continues. And in this, He has given us weapons. He's given us knowledge. He's given us the seal, the Holy Spirit, the power to overcome. And He prepares us. And when He does a new thing, there's always a new strategy. And in the strategy, it doesn't mean that you have to figure out the strategy right now. That's all you have to do is yield to the Spirit. And He's going to bring you and position you in what you need to, where you need to go. You know, so many people say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And just like when Saul, who became Paul, Saul said, what do you want me to do? And he said, okay, go to the street called Straight and stay with one of my servants. He didn't say, okay, well, then what? He said, okay, obeyed that point. See, when you obey one thing, then He'll give you the other. But there's so many people who obey one thing and then go on, an assumption of the other. Are you with me? And what happens is, now listen, I want to share something with you, that we're always in battle. Amen? There's always battles going on. And the enemy is going to always oppose it, no matter what. So in this, there's things that we've got to be prepared for right now. In fact, you have to choose your battles. Choosing your battles is important. Because the devil loves to put all kinds of battles around you. And if you choose the wrong one, you lose the others. See, because there's one battle that God has given you to fight. When you fight that battle, He fights yours. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5 and 6, would you read it with me? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to His God and Father, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we have been made kings and priests. Now first you must fulfill your priesthood before you get kingship. And I'm going to share with you right now that the kingly anointing is going to come in this year big time. Big time. But see, there are people who still haven't finished their priesthood. In other words, they're trying to minister on a second floor level with a first floor foundation, aren't they? Hello? And that's what God is doing right now, isn't He? He's beginning to expose. He's beginning to change. You've seen a lot of exposure in the body of Christ. But what He's saying now, a king is a representation of what we call a warrior. Amen. A priest is one who ministers to the Lord. So you first must fulfill your priesthood and maintain that office, always to minister to the Lord. Why? Because by ministering to the Lord, you will always be able to maintain your foundation. Is everybody with me? And as God begins to build or repair the foundation, so that you can see, what we want to be able to do is always minister on whatever floor God has given us. So if it's a third floor ministry, then you must have a foundation that can hold all three floors. So you must be ready in season and out. And sometimes God will move in a way that we just don't understand what's happening sometimes. But he's saying, listen, you must stop leaning on your own understanding and just be obedient to me. Amen. First of all, he says, we have been called to be priests and kings, right? Are you with me? One of the things that the enemy is always going to try to do is come against your priesthood. He'll always try to come against you. Look at Zechariah chapter 3. Is everybody there? Let's read it together, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. Well, who's he opposing? The priest, isn't he? You get it? You know, we know that the devil is always going to oppose the will of God, isn't he? But see, if by maintaining your priesthood, the devil's always going to try to get you out of God's presence. He's going to try to stop you from worshiping the Lord. He's going to try to do everything he can because he knows that in the presence of God, he's exposed. That's why we want us, that's why the Bible says, remember, one of the things we talked about, which is essential in 2008, is to be filled with the Spirit of God. The more you're filled, the more you hear. The more you're filled, the more you see. The more you're filled, the more you have dominion. Because you don't take no garbage. People may call it pride in certain areas, but let me tell you, it's just called authority. Because most carnal people don't understand what authority is. Carnal people call it self-righteousness. We call it the righteousness of God. Holy. Hallelujah. So he said, Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, who said it? The Lord, let me tell you, when you're in God's presence, the Lord will tell Satan for you. Are you with me? And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Must have had a Holy Ghost service and they were rolling all over the place. Now he's talking about worldliness. And he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Everyone say, I'm being clothed with rich robes. Ooh, yeah. And verse 5, and I said, let them put a clean what? Turban on his what? Head. So they put a clean turban on his head and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord what? Stood by. Ooh. And the angel of the Lord stood by him, didn't he? The priests were preparing for kingship. The priest was being prepared for what? Kingship. Are you hearing me? But first fulfilling priesthood, didn't he? Now, Satan will always oppose. He'll try to get you dirty. He'll try to get you to come in agreement with something. When you come in agreement with something that the voice of the stranger said, you make covenant. And then he has a legal right to you, doesn't he? But he blemishes your garments, doesn't he? So understand that Satan's always going to come against your priesthood. That's why the Lord said, many come to me and worship me in vain. Hello? That's why the Bible says, seek him with all of your heart. When we come to worship, man, I'm telling you what, you need to make the heart exchange. Because you're not to share your heart with nobody. When you share your heart with somebody, you contaminate yourself. And you become soul tied. What you're to do every day is to give your heart to God and let the heart of Christ be manifested in you. That's the heart you share, not yours. Hello? Praise God. Remember, the Lord had spoken to us and gave us a word for this year. He said it was going to be your greatest battles. Your greatest battles are coming. Oh, man, I'm in a battle right now. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. But he said not only will your greatest battles come this year, but your largest victories. That means big spoil, big harvest. Amen? But the enemy's going to try to oppose you, isn't he? He's going to try to prevent you from maintaining your priesthood. That's one who ministers to the Lord, worships the Lord. Why? Because that's going to hinder your foundation. He wants to crack your foundation. You know, Jesus said when Peter had revelation about that, Jesus was the Christ, meaning the anointed one. And he said, I'm going to build my church on that revelation. That he was the what? The anointed one. So it's the anointing that is the foundation. It's the anointing of God that's the foundation. Then the word is built on it. Does everybody get it? And what holds the word together is like blocks, is mortar. That's the anointing. So it works together. That's why people who are worded, so worded, there's nothing that holds the word together. That's why they crumble. Does everybody get it? Second floor ministry with a first floor foundation. Hallelujah. So we know the Lord said that we are going to enter in great battles with the largest victories. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. So we must learn to choose our battles. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And start at verse 1. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to, I want you to put train. Who'll be able to what? Train. Because that's what it's about. It's a season of training. Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School. Amen. Training. God is training his people to war, to battle. Let me share something with you. You're to go start a battle. When the Lord says go battle this, you go do it. Don't wait for it. You go do it when he says to do it. The whole thing right now is to discern. You must do the choosing of what battle you're to battle. Let's go further. Verse 3, you therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hardship. In other words, you got to deny yourself. You must endure hardship. Listen, things aren't going to go all, you know. Well, Lord, you promised this. He said, yes, but I didn't promise your way. I promised my way. Oh, but Lord, I've been waiting for this for a long time. I'm getting tired and weary of battling. You're battling the wrong ones. Hello? You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the rules, divine requirements. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Understanding in all things. We must endure wars. We must endure battles. Too many people give up on the first battle. They run. And they think that there's going to be victory somewhere else of a battle. Oh, man, I can't. And they run. And what happens is they go right into another battle. Some people go from battle to battle to battle with no victory. And they get so worn out because they're fighting the wrong battle. Are you hearing? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Let's go to James 4. James 4. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Where do wars or battles and fights come from among you? Flesh creature? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. In other words, he's saying you're looking for all the stuff in the flesh, all the material things and whatever. You know, you're trying to get fulfillment. You're fighting the wrong battle. You ask and do not receive. No, you're not getting it because God knows your heart. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures or lusts. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace or favor. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The first battle that we must conquer is within. If you can't conquer the battle within, you'll never conquer the battle without. Are you hearing? The battle within is associated with self. First battle to conquer is within you. Every attempt to go forward will be opposed and defeated until the battle within is controlled and overcome. People start ministries and businesses and all kinds of things, claiming to be believers, but they don't tithe, they don't do offerings, they don't do anything to that degree. They don't pray. Are you hearing? They fornicate. They do all kinds of stuff according to the world. They're looking to the world for fulfillment. They're looking to the world for success. They're going according to worldly traditions. Oh, hallelujah. And in this, they have no victory over self. The first thing that must be conquered is a war within. God will not allow you to go do things proclaiming His name until you have conquered what's within you. Hello? You must have dominion. You must take authority within. That is the first battle. That's why priesthood must be maintained and fulfilled, because without priesthood, the battle within will never be won. It's nothing but a bunch of word and religion. That's why there's a lot of stuff going out there. People preaching, doing all kinds of stuff, proclaiming, starting ministries. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of big ones. And I'm going to find out when I stand before God that they're not getting anything because it was done in vain. It wasn't led by Him. You know, the Bible tells us that there were 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 boneheads, 5 foolish, right? The 5 that were wise maintained the oil. Do you get it? The oil, what did they maintain? Priesthood. They kept their wicks clean. They stayed unspotted from the world. And then there were 5 that were filled. They were still praying in tongues, but they never got an oil change. They stayed according to their traditions. They couldn't move forward because they could never conquer the battle that was within. They played church. Are you hearing? They did what? They played church. And when it came time, the Lord was getting ready to return. He was going to be ready. Then, oh, goodness. I need to go get some oil from those who are wise. In other words, those who had wisdom. And they went to them and they said, nope, you ain't getting mine. You should have got yours when it was time. If I give you mine, then I won't have enough to get through. Oh, that is such a powerful, I could go on and on with that scripture. The Lord give me more stuff today with that scripture, but we don't have time for that now. Go to Ezekiel 14. Praise you, Lord. Is everybody there? The first battle you must win is within. You must conquer it. It doesn't mean, now listen, I want to share something with you. That battle is constant. Man, you wake up with yourself. Lord. Did you ever turn around and go, oh my God, who's this? It's you. You wake up in the morning, you go look in the mirror and go, man, what happened? Ezekiel 14, starting verse 1. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, says Ezekiel. And the Lord said to him, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all that by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of God who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of the Lord by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, the house of the Lord, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all of your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, the house of the Lord, or of the strangers who dwell in there, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Idols. Idols. There's where the battle's within, isn't it? That's where the wars are. The battles of idols. People have children as their idols. People have their spouses as idols. People's self is their idol. People's businesses, money, greed, relationships, friendships, girlfriends, boyfriends. Man, they're willing to do anything. Man, I'm telling you what. Oh. But I love them so much. Bummer. Pulled you right out of the will of God. Idols. Does everybody get it? It's so important. And it, you know, and the devil will compromise. He'll try to make it real simple. But you're supposed to love him. Yes, we're to love one another. But never allow it to become an idol. Never. Anything that is between you and God is an idol. You must be willing to leave at any time. Now, I'm not talking about out of God's will. Hello? Some people come up to me, well, Pastor, it's time for me to go. Yeah, I've been here 2 months. Well, you got 7 more to do. Well, God told me, no, that was a demon. And you need to die and get deliverance. It's real simple. God never interrupts himself either, does he? Hallelujah. Idols. You know, unforgiveness is an idol. Some people love to be miserable. They get off on it. Oh, man. Yeah, well, they begin to grumble and complain. They hold bitterness and unforgiveness, and they're being fed. But they're not being fed from God. That becomes an idol. Greed, lust, you know, all of these things are idols. And that's what you're fighting against, is idols. You know, let me share something. Everybody wants to do something for God. You wouldn't be in this room if you didn't want to do something for God. Amen? But you can't allow what you want to do for God to become an idol. Does everybody get it? Well, I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. Man, I want to do it. I want every soul in the world to be saved. I want to lead everyone to Jesus. But God has specific places and positions for everyone. See, when a person's vision, when a person's dream becomes an idol, they get out of position. Come on, do you get it? It's important because this is a battle that's within. It's constant. People drive by a car. Man, I want that car. I want this. Nice. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? You know, they want. I want. The Bible says, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. People go to great lengths to get what they want. I remember when I was in the world, man, I went through great lengths to get the dope. It first started with women, and then it went to the dope. It said, forget the women, the dope was my woman. Didn't care about my wife, didn't care about my children, because that idol was there. And when I associated with that idol, there's always a spirit attached to every idol. And there's a cluster waiting. Are you with me? Hallelujah. That is the first battle you must overcome, is the idols that get attached to the heart. That's why you must give your heart to God every day and ask for the heart of Christ. That's the one you want to share, not yours. That's like having sex before marriage. It causes, man, it sure got quiet in here. It takes healing because it opens the door. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Oh, hallelujah. See, but if you're fulfilling your priesthood, you're staying filled. And you're going to have sensitivity and clarity. And I'm not saying you're going to get everything perfect. Amen? But when you make the mistake, it's like you just stepped on a nail. You're going to get clean right away. You repent right away by the blood, because the blood goes before the Spirit. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, and it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Well, man, I'm telling you what, this dude was outnumbered. There was battles coming every way around him. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you, dude, from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon, Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now listen, here was a man that didn't know which battle to go to. And he was outnumbered everywhere. He didn't know where to go. You know what he did? He proclaimed a fast and went to go seek the Lord. You know what he was doing? Priesthood. What was he? He knew. He didn't know where to go. The Bible says God not giving you a spirit of confusion, is he? When people get confused, it's because they haven't overcome the idol in them. Are you hearing? Now listen. When confusion comes, it means that there's something attached. And it needs to be severed, and their individual needs to go seek the Lord. Why? We need direction, don't we? You know, too many people move without an answer. Well, this is what I felt. Too bad. I'd rather be blessed than felt. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. And verse 4. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everybody sees that, right? Go to verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matana, a Levite, the sons of Ashva, in the midst of the assembly. Now listen, when you seek God with all of your heart, He will send an answer. So here's Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, seeing all these battles about to happen, and he doesn't know where to go or what to do, doesn't know which one to go at. He goes and seeks the Lord. He proclaims a fast in the whole place, so everybody denies themselves. See, fasting will also help expose your idols. So you can sever them. Fasting does not move the hand of God. Fasting helps sever garbage in you so your faith can increase. So they fasted, and when they all came in unity, and they touched and agreed, and they fasted, and they sought the Lord, God always sends an answer. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon this prophet, and in verse 15, and he said, "Listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but who? God's." So the Lord came. Now wait a minute, here's everybody singing, wait a minute, we're the ones that need to go out there and fight. How can the battle be yours? Do you see how people can choose the wrong battle? People can just choose the wrong battle. But when you choose the right battle, the Lord battles the rest of yours. And He's with you in the one you're battling. Hello? Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 16. "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up from the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. You will not need to fight in this battle." You don't need to fight in this battle, man. What did he just say? Position yourself. That's all. Just get in position. You don't fight this one. This one isn't your battle. "But they're all over, man. You should see it. They're everywhere." No, it's not your battle. It's his. He says, just position yourself, will you? If you'll position yourself, I'm going to battle it for you. In other words, be attentive. Stay in position. Maintain your priesthood. Stay filled. Keep your wick cleaned. Stay unblemished. Search yourself. Take dominion over any battles that's within you. And I'm going to battle this one. This was a huge one. He said, don't fear or dismay. Tomorrow I'll go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Wow, now go to verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be what?" Now what's the word believe mean? Follow. Follow the Lord your God, and you're going to be established. Well, see, the Bible says, first deny yourself, then pick up your cross, and then follow. And you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper. In other words, believe in the word, and you're going to prosper. So what did the Lord tell them? Get positioned. Just get positioned. The battle's mine. Okay, Lord, we believe you. We're going to follow you. We're going to listen to your word. And that's what they did. Now, in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." So they were directed to send the praise and worship team out. You try to tell them when they were in the Gulf. Hold on a second. The body of Christ needs to go before the army. We would have won. It would have been over with. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seirah, and he had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Do you understand? When you praise and worship God, God sends ambushes against your enemy. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seirah to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seirah, they helped to destroy one another. So God used two of the armies to kill the other two armies. And then those two armies that killed the other two armies, they killed each other. That's my kind of victory. So when Judah came to the place, overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came, now they didn't even get there yet, man. They were already dead before they got there. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them the abundance of valuables on dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. This is 2008. Are you hearing? But we must choose the right battle. We must choose the right battle. We must stay in position. Go to Isaiah 30 for a minute. Oh, hallelujah. Position for the battle. Now we start at 31. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down, and he strikes with the rod, and in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with a what? Tambourine and harp, and in battles of brandishing, he will what? Fight with it. So he's look at, they were fighting with what? Tambourines and harps. That's praise and worship. Do you get it? See, so while you're clapping your hands, worshiping God, you're doing battle. You're shooing away the devil. So when you clap your hands, you ought to go, shoo, shoo, shoo. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah, or 1 Samuel 25. Glory. So Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, and the battle was the Lord's. And this one, wasn't it? But God was with them, wasn't he? That's all they do is cooperate. They went out as a praise and worship team and kicked butt. And they got all the spoil, didn't they? What a harvest. I told you your greatest battles are this year and your largest victories. They were there 3 days collecting all the cash. Check about that, man. Glory. 1 Samuel 25, verse 2. Is everybody there? Now there was a man and man whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful in appearance. Good understanding. But the man was harsh and evil and in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you and peace to your house and peace to all of you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us and we did not hurt them. Nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I've killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from? So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master and reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. So they had protection from David's army. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. So David's army was out there warring, but yet protecting these people. Does everybody understand that? Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 clusters, raisins, 2, and a bunch of stuff, man. Hallelujah. And verse 20. So we see Abigail, who was the wife of Nabal, said, man, I got to go do something quick because this guy's going to kill my husband. And my husband is an idiot. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. So David had chose to go to battle, didn't he? May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belongs to him by morning light. In other words, he was going out to kill. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. And so she fell at his feet and said, on me, O Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak to your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. Does everybody see this? Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little bit further. Okay. In verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord does what? Fights the battles of the Lord. He does what? He fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. So we see that this woman came out. She expressed to David, she says, look, this is my husband who's a bonehead. All right, but I'm asking you, don't go to battle with this. I know that you fight the Lord's battles, but don't go to battle with this one. What was God trying to do? Fight the right one. Do you understand? Choose the right battle. Now listen what happens. This is powerful. Somewhere along the line here. In verse 30, and it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel. Now this woman is telling David this stuff. That this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her and had received from her hand what she had brought him, and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. So David made the right choice and not to go to battle with that. Do you understand? His men were hungry. They've been battling. They protected these people. They needed food. And here this wealthy man was there. He could have gone and just taken it. There was no problem at all. 400 men against one wouldn't have been too difficult. Or how many shears there were and so forth. There were this man, Nabal's servants, I don't know. But there still would have been a battle and there would have been a fight. But it would have been the wrong battle. Does everybody see? So what the enemy tries to do is cause you to get into a battle that you don't belong. Are you with me? Praise God. I want to share another battle with you. Go to next chapter, and I'll make it brief. Hallelujah. There was a man called Saul who was a king. Amen? Now, David, Saul was prideful, disobedient, and David was anointed to become king as a young child. And David became King Saul's armor bearer. And he was there with him. And then he began to, David was fulfilling his priesthood by ministering to the Lord because Saul had demons. And the only way Saul could be relieved from the demons is when David came and praised and worshiped to the Lord and Saul would be freed up. Because there was a distressing, tormenting spirit. So now, it got to a point where Saul began to chase David. He said, that's it, I'm killing this dude. All right? Now, in verse 15. So David, now David was hiding in the caves, okay? And Saul was chasing David. And David had an opportunity and he snuck in while Saul was sleeping. And his servant that was with David said, man, why don't you just kill him? In other words, let's go to battle with him. And David said, no, I won't touch God's anointed, even though this guy's an idiot. And he's been chasing me, and he's a murderer because he killed the high priest. And he's after me. He said, yeah, we've been running for a while, man, into these caves and whatever, trying to get food, battling all these people, the Philistines and whatever, and all the areas, and we're in this cave, and Saul, King Saul, is still chasing David. Now, you got to remember that David married Saul's daughter, okay, and that ended quickly, because King Saul began to chase David. Amen? Everybody with me? Are you up to date? Okay, so David said to Amber, which was Saul's armor bearer and protector, bodyguard, because Saul was sleeping and David went and took his spear in his water. So David went up on a mountain and he said, called out to Amber, and he said, are you not a man and who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your Lord, the king, for one of the people came in to destroy the Lord, the king? This thing you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is in the jug of water that was by his head. See, now David could have gone in there and killed the king and he chose not to go to that battle. He just took the spear in the water. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, is this your voice, my son David? David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, in other words, if it's men that's stirring you up instead of the Lord, do you get it? May they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea. And when one hunts a partridge in the mountains, then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not strike out my hand against the Lord's anointed." So David could have gone to this battle and defeated them. Do you understand? But he chose not to, because he knew. Are you with me? Let me share something very important. Remember, two things are essential in 2008. I mean, they are essential for choosing the right battles. The first one is discipline, and the second one is discernment. Without discipline and discernment, you will not be able to choose the right battles. Discipline and discernment. And this season will take these two things to choose the correct battle to fight while the Lord fights the others. Discipline and discernment. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Think, you know, you can almost kind of reflect on some of the battles that you got into, right? Some of these spiritual warfare battles you got into, and you thought, man. The next thing you know, you're writing another one and writing another one. You know why? Because you were in the wrong battle. When the Lord said, "This battle is mine," sometimes he was just saying, "Stay in position. This one's my battle. I will make a way of escape for you. Just stay in position." But we chose, "No, man, I need to battle this one." And we got sidetracked and battled the wrong battle. And we ended up getting drained. And missing God. Hello? In Galatians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Praise God. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I say, then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17. Read it with me. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, or that you like, or that you love, or that you desire. Hello. That takes discipline. 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 It takes what? Discipline. Ooh. So that you don't do what you feel like. Oh, but it feels so good. People get addicted because it feels good, then it lies. People go out and lust because it feels good, then it lies. People take money and don't tithe and spend it on other things because it feels good, but it lies. See, if the enemy can get you to sow in the flesh, he knows he can reap corruption. Because three things he comes to do is what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And you will reap one of those if you sow in the flesh. There's no outrunning it. The only way that you can prolong or stop it is if you clean it instantly. It's just like a glass. When you drop it, not only can you get hurt because it breaks, but others can get hurt too. And that's what usually happens. So the longer it's on the floor, hello, the longer somebody's going to get hurt. So the best thing to do is clean it up quickly. You repent and you get back in position. Amen? Discipline to walk in the Spirit. Let me share with you, you're going to need more than good intentions in 2008. Good intentions will not rescue you. More than good intentions. You won't make it. You must be disciplined. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. Some people are fighting their spouses more than they're in the wrong battle, man. You you know, the enemy loves to get people off track too, in the area where they begin to fight in the flesh instead of in the spirit. They begin to blame people because they're fighting the wrong thing. See, the enemy's already moved them to battle against the wrong thing. And while they're trying to battle against the wrong thing, the enemy's accessing everything else to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because when you battle the wrong thing, you sow in the flesh. Do you get it? Everybody all right? Good. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Oh, hallelujah. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, self-control. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, wrong battle. But I what? I what? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So what was he doing? He was disciplining himself. He wasn't going by how he feels. He wasn't going by what he thinks. He wasn't going by what he sees. He was going by what he's led. Are you understanding? He was led. That's why the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. Discipline means self-control. Rule over. Won't be moved. Use what you've learned. Discipline. In other words, don't go there. Don't get sucked in the ring. Discipline. You got to have discipline to wait. Amen? Let me share something with you. You must have discipline to wait on God before you attack in the battle. Why? Because you must have discipline to wait to find out what battle you got to get into. Some people are battling everything. Oh, they're hitting the air and they're not gaining any ground. And they come in, man, I've been worn all week long. You know? Oh, man, the devil's stealing everything. Well, you're in the wrong battle, that's why. Because if you're in the right battle, the devil is not going to steal. Hello? You must have discipline to finish what God told you to start. You must have discipline to obey and submit. You must have discipline. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to James 4. Discipline. You must have discipline. When God says, pray this 7 times a day, you better. When God says, do this, you better. Discipline. Is everybody there? Therefore be what? Oh, wait a minute. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? So you must have discipline to what? Submit. That means that you gotta die. It takes discipline to die. That's why Jesus said deny yourself. It takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes practice. Your first choice is usually a fleshly one. When somebody does something, whatever, you want to react right away. But see, you must have discipline to know that it's going to come and take dominion. So that you don't react, you respond. Does everybody get that? So you must have discipline not to react, but to respond, because your flesh wants to react to everything. It wants to slander, gossip, wants to lie, wants to cheat. Hello? It wants to be prideful, wants. That's the flesh. The little flesh creature in you. See, but you must have discipline not to react, but to respond. Because you know it's going to come first. Your first choice always is to the flesh. Until you've got dominion over that, then your first, and the first choice won't even get, you know it's going to come. So you take dominion over it right away, before it even sticks up its little head. You beat it down with the Holy Ghost baseball bat, knock it out a little bit, give it a Holy Ghost, wah! You know? And then you respond according to the Spirit. Submit to God and resist it. You must have discipline to hear the voice of God. Go to Ecclesiastes 6. Chapter 8. Discipline and discernment. Two major things. Why? Because that's what's going to assist you in choosing the right battle. Choosing your battles. Ecclesiastes 8. And verse something. 5. Everybody there? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. Sounds like discipline is affected that by being disciplined. They were what? Obedient. He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart does what? Discerns both time and judgment. He discerns both the time of battle. Judgment is a representation of battle. Amen? So you must, discernment is going to tell you when to battle. Discipline. You're going to be disciplined to use the things of God and wait. Discernment is going to tell you when. Which one? Keep going. Is everybody there? Verse 6. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment. Though the misery of a man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. Who can tell him when it will occur? No one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from the war. There's no release from the battle. And wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. Hallelujah. So you must have discernment to have time of war. What battle? When? Remember, discernment is the fruit of wisdom. Discernment is the fruit of wisdom. And Proverbs 4. Everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Discipline and discernment. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Would you read it with me? Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Wow. Wisdom is the principal thing. The fruit of wisdom is discipline. Amen? Tells you when. Also will tell you how. And also will tell you where. Discernment. Is everybody with me? Go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and then one more verse. Maybe. Everything's subject to change here. Including us, praise God. Are you okay? You are getting this? You ready? Settle up. Settle up your horses. Okay. Hebrews 5. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers or trainers, you need someone to teach you or train you again. For the first principles and the oracles of God, you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. Ooh, discernment. Romans 8. Remember, these battles are to remove and drive out the enemies and take territories. These are battles that must be won. They must be victorious. If you're in the right battle, God is fighting the other ones for you. And if you fight the wrong battle, you sow in the flesh. And that battle is in vain. In Romans 8, everybody there? Guess I better go there. In verse 35, hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Discipline and discernment. Two major things that are needed so that you can be disciplined to discern what battle you're to be fighting. Does everybody get it? Amen? It's important. Don't lose it. Grab it. Impart it. Pray it. Ask it. Lord, grant me more discipline. Lord, grant me more wisdom. Grant me more discernment. I need it. I can't survive. You must go after Him with all your heart. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. And Lord, I ask out of Your mercies and grace, but mostly out of Your love for Your people, that You would grant us more discipline and more discernment. Lord, that clarity would be so clear that we know Your voice and we know Your unction, that we would be sensitive to Your presence, and that we would be directed to fight the right battle and choose the right battle. Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness of every battle that we have chose and fought that was in vain or in the flesh. We ask for Your forgiveness, Lord, for choosing wrong battles. So, Lord, we just ask, and anything that we have sowed in the flesh and that reaping is due to us, Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness and put the blood, plead the blood and plead mercy in all these areas. That we have been directed by Your Spirit to fight the right battles with wisdom, discipline, and discernment. In every victory, Father, every victory that You grant, we promise to give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.